Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna.
Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotakasata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotakasata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaja Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopi Gauri Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Gangamayi Ki Jai, Yamunamayi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namasreshtam Anum Api Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamnatosmi. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Atav Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagana Raghuna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivashaka Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna consciousness is very blissful. Sometimes there is not bliss. Also, non-bliss. Unhappiness. This is an unhappy song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is always in the supreme bliss of Bhaktivinoda, enjoying bhakti, being happy in bhakti. He has sung this song, which is just applicable to describe my life, so many lives I've passed in this way. He says, my life, Amar Jibon, always attached to sinfulness, without even a trace of any piety. How much difficulty have I given to others? How much problems have I caused for others? For my own happiness, I don't care at all about committing any sinful activities. And there's not even a trace of any compassion or mercy in me, just simply interested in my own imagined self-interest. My unhappiness comes in seeing others happy. I'm always telling, always lying. And my happiness is in the unhappiness of others. Within my heart are unlimited material desires. I'm by nature angry and proud, always intoxicated by pride, bewildered by the prospect of sense enjoyment and trying to enjoy the senses. My decorations, so to speak, are envy of others and arrogance, pride. Overcome by sleep and laziness, devoid of any good activities, very expert and attached to and busy in performing things which shouldn't be done for the sake of personal prestige. I'll do all kinds of deceitful activities and full of greed and desire. Such a rascal as myself, devoid of any good association, always offensive, and again, devoid of any auspicious activities. My mind is always attached to all wrong things. So in this way, stricken with grief, various forms of grief, as I find myself in my old age without any way forward, what do I do now? And therefore, I've become little humble and finding myself with nothing. Only because of the, I'm in this stricken position in old age that I've come to this position. So Bhaktivinoda says, at the lotus feet of Krishna, he's offering this submission of grief. So it's a very sad song. It's a dukkha nibedan, a submission of unhappiness. And I'm unhappy to sing it. We're unhappy to sing this song because we're unhappy at Bhaktivinoda's unhappiness and unhappy that he can think that about himself. when he's such a great devotee, and he's saying this for my sake, and I'm unhappy that he's that I'm in this situation, which he's I'm Bishoya Mohita, so much overcome by wrong desires that I wouldn't even realize unless he would point it out to me. But you know, Thakur is not actually like that. But I'm unhappy to say that I'm like that. This is my life. Mm. Now I've passed 64 years since coming out of my mother's womb. In this lifetime, how many lifetimes have been there? 64 years. But there's some silver lining that by the mercy of the acharyas, Bhaktivinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta, have entered my heart. Some idea of bhakti is there. Otherwise, without that, my life is sajjana varjita. For how many lifetimes I was devoid of the association of great devotees. So today, even though it's not my birthday, there's some celebration of my birthday. It's my birthday, according to the Gregorian calendar, is the 3rd of January, but not exactly sure because the timing isn't given. I might have popped out of my mother's womb just late on the night of the 2nd or early in the morning of the 4th, and they might have recorded. I don't know. And anyway, in the Vedic system, we celebrate, if there's any celebrate, or we calibrate, we recognize the birthday according to the lunar cum solar calendar. But we, as I don't know the time, we can't fix it. So we were going to do it on the 3rd of January this year, this celebration which my disciples kindly put together. But as the 3rd of January, on that day, due to the varying dates, because the lunar cum solar calendar doesn't fit exactly with the solar calendar, and from what it seems, even the solar calendar isn't going to fit with the solar calendar because the Earth's spinning faster or something like this. But the 3rd of January was this year was the disappearance celebration of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is of course infinitely more consequential, important than myself. So we've put it back to this date. Birthday, nowadays it's May. It's my birthday today. How old are you?
7.
It's a common thing that people become excited on their birthdays, but the traditional system is that when the children are very young, the parents, they give charity to the brahmanas if they have the means to do so. They offer, what we find in the description of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj celebrated a big festival by honoring the brahmanas and all living beings. And Vasudev did so in his mind because he was not in a position to celebrate for one reason, because he didn't want Kamsa to know that Krishna had been born, a son had been born to him. And another reason was that he was anyway incarcerated in a prison, so he wasn't in any situation to perform any auspicious activities. And similarly, we find Dasharath Maharaj for the birth of Rama and his other sons. They celebrated in such a way. It's a standard thing to do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was his father, Jagannath Mishra, with the day after Gaur Purnima, we celebrate as Jagannath Mishra Mahotsav. The day after Janmashtami, we celebrate as Nandotsav. Even the birth of Radha is described like that. Brishabhanu, he gave away in charity. And as the children become older, they're taught that on this date especially, they should respect their elders, bow down to their elders, which they do every day. Not that it's something to celebrate for me, but offering respect and worship to my elders, especially to the parents, Matri Devo Bhava, first of all to the mother who gives birth, the father gives birth, Pitri Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava. We offer respects to those who have given physical birth, because the human birth is especially meant for getting out of the terrible cycle of birth and death, so the parents give that opportunity, and they also act as gurus, and the acharya who initiates and gives spiritual instruction is particularly to be honored on the Guru Purnima, on one's own birthday according to Tithi or Nakshatra, whichever system is current in the part of India or the caste one is born in. It's not something to celebrate, per se. Celebrate, yeah, I got a human birth, but then how did I live? Amar jibon shada pape roth. Are we living in a manner that is auspicious or a manner that is inauspicious? We can live in an auspicious way if our parents are kind enough to train us like that. Unfortunately, kalo shudra sambhava. In this Kali Yuga, even people are born in Brahmin families, what to speak of others. They are generally not given proper guidance on the purpose of life. Particularly in Kali Yuga, people are shudras in the sense that people are simply interested in the basic physical needs of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and they don't know more than that. So there's nothing really to celebrate. You got born, agyana timirandhasa. I was born into the darkness of ignorance. Nothing new about that. We've been doing it how many times? How many births have I taken? How many births have I suffered in this material world? There's nothing to celebrate. But the real birth is from the acharya, who gives us the guidance by which we can understand that our real father and mother is Krishna. Pita aham asya jagato mata dhata pita mahaha. Krishna is our real father and mother. We have to take shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So on this day when my disciples have kindly arranged, of course not much this year, usually we have a big birthday bash, but not this year due to the coronavirus restrictions. Anyway, we'll go on chanting Hare Krishna. Either we're supposed to go on chanting in heaven or hell, and either in a big gathering or a small gathering. It's whether we're in association of thousands of devotees or even if they're just two or three of us, it's more or less the same. We get up every morning, we have Mangalati, we chant the kirtan, we chant our rounds. So big or small, Krishna's always big. Big celebration. Yes, we have a big celebration every day. We celebrate Srila Prabhupada's mercy on us by remembering him early in the morning, as offer a supplication to him, offer our respect at his lotus feet, how we really took birth. Otherwise, what is a birthday? It means just one more time getting born in ignorance, and especially if we get the human form of life and we don't utilize it for self-realization, then it's a cause for distress. But materialistic people, as in everything, have got it all back to front. They don't understand. they think, oh, my birthday, very good. Well, when you're younger, then when you're getting older, you know, I think even the materialists, they should understand, I'm getting closer to death. They don't seem to understand. We have, at the present time, as I'm speaking this, I haven't seen the news headlines today, but the President of the United States, who's 70 plus in years, doesn't want to quit his office, and there's a new guy coming in who's 80 years old or something. Manu very wisely warns us that when we see the gray hairs on our head, it's time to withdraw from worldly activities and concentrate on the real purpose of human life. Actually, we should do that all during our lives, but especially those who are married in grihastha life, they have other duties to perform in this world also. But when gray hair, of course, nowadays people get gray hair from about age 18 going on. When did you start? You're what, 42?
No, 39.
39, but you look like 59 with all that white hair. And you started what age? It was at least 10 years ago your hair started to go white.
Probably from 20 years.
From 20 years old, you see. It's a common thing. People, well, that's a good sign if we read Manu, but who wants to read Manu? When you get white hairs on your head, you should concentrate. And you did. You left all the Sri Girid Haris sitting here with his, with the white hair on his transcendental head. I don't know if I have white hair or not, because it's all going bald up there. So that's the same thing. We should take it very seriously, that at least now, when we're getting older, going on and on and on, trying to enjoy this material world, such foolishness. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, those of you who are listening in here, I presume you're all in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, you can realize, you have realized, that human life is meant for God realization. We celebrate the appearance day of great devotees. That's what we should celebrate, not our own birthday. What is there to celebrate? Any excuse for a cake. But we should be celebrating the great devotees who come into this world, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes into this world. He comes Saparshada Shiadham Shaha Abhatari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends into this world with his associates and with his own dham, Srinavati dham. You may say, well, Navadi was already there before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Yeah, that's from our perspective. It was there, yes, but it became manifested with the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So we come into this world, well, we get different births. We're here, anadi karma phale, pari bhavarna vajale. Since time immemorial, we've fallen in this ocean of material existence. We get birth after birth. We get a birth according to our karmic situation. But the pure liberated devotees, they come on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the order of Krishna, to lift us up. So their birthdays we should celebrate. And our connection with them, they kindly reached out to us. They picked us up. So that is something to celebrate. Not that I got another bag before I was a cat bag, then a dog bag, then a camel bag, then a worm in stool bag, now I'm in a human bag, and what is there to celebrate? That I got another suffering existence. But by the grace of Krishna, I got the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Ajit Krishna, within the heart, he arranges that we can have a guru. So we're on this day, as every day, but especially on days of reflection and contemplation. Yes, celebration, yes. Celebration of what usually when celebrating my so-called birthday, we have big kirtans, so a day of celebration. But it's also a day of contemplation. Another year has passed. How have I passed that year? What have I done in Srila Prabhupada's service? What should I aim for in the next year if I even live another year? The day of contemplation. So especially on this day we honor the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vyasa Puja. We honor Vyasa Deva, who is the form of the Supreme Lord, who has given us the Vedic literature. We in Kali Yuga, who are not really fit for it anyway, Sri Shudra Dvija Bandhunam, Trina Veda Gochara. We're not really fit for that, so he's kindly given us Mahabharata. He's given us Srimad Bhagavatam. Within Mahabharata, we have the Bhagavad Gita. So Guru's function is to represent Vyas by giving the proper understanding of the Vedic literature, which Sri Vyas has given in written form. He didn't invent it. Veda is eternal, but Vyasadeva, at the beginning of every Kali Yuga, there are different living beings, takes the position of Vyasadeva to compile, collate, organize, edit, and have written down the Vedic knowledge. We think that someone who is very intelligent, we may call them a bookworm or bookish. But the most intelligent people previously, they didn't read books. They could read, but they didn't read books. They weren't books. Books were in people's heads. they memorize. Writing books is a concession for Kali Yuga. Writing, yes, for sending letters, messages, maybe some royal edicts and this kind of thing put in stone. But otherwise, writing is for fools. And you see the situation in Kali Yuga? That we think someone who's read many books, they're very intelligent. But previously, the prospect of reading a book, that means less intelligent. How everything is declining in Kali Yuga. So it's a day especially to remember Krishna, who has guided me to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and especially to remember Srila Prabhupada also, by whose mercy myself and all of you are sitting here. I'm supposed to represent Srila Prabhupada to you. I have no other function as a guru, otherwise it's just nonsense. It's the qualification to be a guru is not simply to be a disciple of one's guru, but not simply to be an initiated, but to repeat the same message. It's a matter of giving the knowledge. Vyasadeva gives knowledge. We have to repeat the same knowledge. It may be presented somewhat differently, it may be packaged somewhat differently. New wine in old bottles. Kali Yuga kind of metaphor there. Old wine in new bottles. Old wine in new bottles. Well, that's the danger if we have new wine in old bottles. That's the danger. If we present that I'm presenting, yes, this is Krishna consciousness as given by the previous acharyas, but it's not. It's some new thing. That's very dangerous. So one should know the difference between what is the real thing and what is counterfeit. They may look very similar. That's why people make counterfeit money, because they can fool others. It looks very similar. Unless one's very expert, one may not know. One will be cheated. Or One may not be very expert to discriminate between counterfeit money and genuine money, if you can call paper money genuine anyway, or plastic money nowadays. But you may have a little machine which checks for you. There's some system. So we have a system. It's called Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, by which we check. Is what's being said and what's being done, is it proper in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra? And the result of that, it's the result of that is if you have real money, you can purchase real goods. So that we should get the real goods, following Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and the result is bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra. We should develop Krishna consciousness, becoming aware of, experiencing the presence of the Supreme Lord in our lives, and concomitantly detached from all else. If we're attached to material things, then our Krishna consciousness is not perfect and not complete. So today I'm especially remembering Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, within my heart, who directed me. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridyeshe juna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani maya. Now I'm in this particular machine body, 64 years old, getting worn out body, but Krishna kindly directed my movements so that I could come within the orb of Srila Prabhupada's influence. And of course, today is a day especially for expressing my gratefulness to Srila Prabhupada and to all the Vaishnavas. Coming to India, especially, there are so many Vaishnavas, especially if we visit Mayapur, Vrindavan, Puri, Srirangam, Udupi. These are places of Vaishnavas. So many Vaishnavas who give us inspiration by their ongoing service in this life to Krishna. In this lifetime, I've been fortunate to have the association of the Vaishnavas, so that by their attachment to Krishna, they're all my gurus and disciples. Today, they're especially looking up to me, and I should honor them also. We find in Manu and other Dharma Shastras, the student, the brahmachari, after finishing his studies, his formal studies at the Gurukul, as he's leaving, there's a ceremony in which the guru washes the feet of the disciple. And guru also realizes that these disciples, they don't belong to me. They're not my property. They've been put in my charge, but the real attitude of a Vaishnava is he sees every living being as worshipable. What to speak of those who have come to Krishna? So he sees his role. It's just in family life, it is the duty of to get married. One gets married and discharges his duty to his forefathers by giving birth to children and then training them in the Vedic way. And then they become older and they have children. But a Vaishnava thinks, when he gives birth to a child, this is sent by Krishna for me to serve. This child is sent by Krishna for me to serve and train. Is a jiva. I'm not intrinsically superior. We're all jiva tattva. Although socially, physically, and just about every way, the parents are superior to the child. The child may excel materially or spiritually, just like we know the names of great personalities, like here in India at the present time, Narendra Modi. I don't personally know the name of his father and mother. He's excelled them in his activities, but that doesn't mean that he thinks he's more than them. The parents become very happy if the children do excel them. They'll be very happy to see their children go on and do well in life. So in the same way, or similar to that, I have to understand that, yes, as a natural course, just as in the natural course, a child becomes a parent, so in the natural course, a disciple becomes a guru, as Srila Prabhupada several times told his disciples, both collectively and in individual cases also, that in future you have to initiate, you have to be gurus. It's the natural course. So in the same way, I expect my disciples, and that should happen. They should also be gurus formally. Many of you are acting as gurus practically anyway. Some are acting as de facto gurus to more junior of my disciples. Among my senior disciples, some are acting like that, as de facto gurus. Not that I'm individually overseeing every single disciple. But that is the normal course of events, that the disciple becomes a guru, and I should offer respect to all my disciples also. And not think that I'm superior to them. In some ways, yes, in other ways, no. I'm supposed to guide and protect by the instructions, the disciples, give them inspiration, give them knowledge, but they also do so to me. They give me their association. You give me your association. Many times I may approach disciples for guidance in both practical matters and dealing with this world, and then scriptural matters. I may discuss with them some philosophical points, and by their association, they protect me and inspire me. So I'm supposed to protect and inspire the disciples, but it's reciprocal also. As a formality, the disciples should follow the guru, and that should be done. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, but practically, I'm also sheltered by disciples sent by Srila Prabhupada to engage me in his mission, and so that I can engage them also. So although I am an authority figure, definitely for the disciples, but at the same time I can, and I'd be very happy. I'm very happy with those disciples who I can look up to and see as outstanding devotees. And not everyone will be immediately, but especially we can all look up to those outstanding disciples who themselves, by their Krishna consciousness, are sheltering others, guiding others, pushing on Srila Prabhupada's mission. And I'm with you in your endeavors. We consult each other. It's a reciprocal arrangement. So, yeah, the guru is an authority figure, but a well-wisher, but at the same time can be a friend and close. It's not that, just like we see in the schools, at least my memory of school, some teachers were very so authoritarian that you could only relate to them like that, as subordinate. But others were very friendly, and it was understood that even though you can talk in a friendly way to them, there are boundaries also, boundaries of etiquette. The teacher is, after all, the teacher, and the pupil is the pupil. So the guru and disciple, there may be, we see in the case of Srila Prabhupada, devotees related with him in different ways. But basically, I have to teach you as I've learned from Srila Prabhupada, and you, the disciples, have to follow. It's a very simple thing to understand. But at the same time, I'm expressing my gratitude to my disciples for carefully following, trying your best, doing your best, chanting and engaging in this movement of Krishna consciousness. And just coming to mind at the moment is an incident described by Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who had left Srila Prabhupada's service in India, where he was intimately involved with the management of ISKCON's affairs there, taking a lot of the burden which then fell on Srila Prabhupada when he left. And when Srila Prabhupada came to America, he wanted to bring Tamal Krishna Maharaj back, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very capable of performing various kinds of administrative services, and there are hardly any devotees who could take the strain of doing so in India at that time. Tamal Krishna Maharaj himself was at the end of his tether as far as the strain was concerned. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring Tamal Krishna Maharaj back. So Srila Prabhupada said, "So what are you doing in America?" "I'm preaching," Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, when he said that, Srila Prabhupada wasn't very impressed, because he wanted to bring him back. He said, "Preaching? What is the result of your preaching?" And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was ready for that. So he said, "Just wait a minute, Srila Prabhupada, I'll show you." And then he called the devotees who were already, he'd been recruiting new brahmacharis for book distribution. So he brought them one by one. He said, "This is Bhakta so-and-so. He's your servant. He's distributing your books, so many books every day." He brought one, bowed down, and he brought another one, who bowed down. He brought a whole stream of them. So in this way, he brought devotees to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is very pleased that you're doing this service, bringing people to him. He was very grateful to Tamal Krishna Maharaj for that. So I'm also very grateful that you're preaching, doing your best, and having results, bringing people to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So it's a day to express my gratefulness, and pray for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, as every day, Pratana Karoye Shada Narotamadas. I'd always pray for the mercy of Krishna and the devotees. What is the mercy? How can we recognize who has got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada? They should be able to spread the movement of Krishna consciousness and at the same time maintain humility. Chunadapi sunichena tarori vasahishana amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. This most seems, for conditioned souls like myself, most difficult formula, how one should consider oneself lower than a straw in the street, should be more tolerant than a tree, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer respect to others, and not desire respect for oneself. And in this way, with this mood, this attitude, constantly chant the name of Krishna. Seems like a very difficult thing. If you ask us to climb up Mount Everest with your hands tied up, that might be easier, might seem easier. But then, by Krishna's grace, it is possible. Everything is possible by the grace of Krishna, even though I'm Dhamma Parayana. We just sung the song. I'm very much attached to my arrogance. That is possible by the grace, by the blessings of a pure devotee, everything is possible. Srila Prabhupada states in fifth canto of Bhagavatam. There's great hope in that statement. Dino hino joto chilo harināme udharilo. By the holy name of Krishna, all the most fallen rascals have been uplifted. And it's not just some theoretical statement. Tar shaki jagai madhai. Jagai and madhai were the first among the most fallen section of society who were lifted up by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then by the chanting of the holy names. And then this principle has particularly been actualized, reified by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and continues to be all over the world. There is hope. There is hope for all of us. We live on hope. We may be very fallen, far away from the goal, but Ashabanda Samutkanta. We have a great hope in our hearts. With eagerness, we desire that time when I will actually be able to chant the names of Krishna in purity. So always remembering what is my background. I didn't come from a very exalted, not even exalted, from a fallen background. Srila Prabhupada has been so kind to pick me up. I can't write my autobiography. I was born in a very high class family, and I was very religious from my birth, and I was very kind. No, nothing like that at all. Nothing good to write. Amar jivan, this is my life. Shada paparata, nahika punneralesh. This is my actual life. Why should I talk about my life before coming to Krishna consciousness? What is there? It's all blackness. It's all darkness. So still, some people are coming to me to be disciples, to acknowledge Srila Prabhupada's mercy, to acknowledge that by the blessings of a Vaishnava, pure devotee, everything is possible. That by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, even someone not at all likely candidate for even chanting Hare Krishna, what to speak of instructing others on the chanting of Hare Krishna, it is possible. Such a person can and must, having been picked up himself, despite his struggling against being picked up, but still Srila Prabhupada has picked me up. So he must bestow the same mercy that we are receiving. So those who are coming to me as to be disciples, it's an acknowledgement by them of their faith in and appreciation of Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada is such a great Vaishnava that he can and is purifying. And I have faith, someone approaching me, that what they're saying indirectly is that I have faith in the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that it can manifest even in such an unlikely person. So we should see when we're approaching for discipleship, Srila Prabhupada, he often said, don't accept a guru as a matter of fashion. Oh, this one has so many disciples. Yeah, it must be best. Let me say, I'll go there. So we may say, oh, he's the best. He's the best. Everyone's the every disciple seems to think that my guru is so much above all the others. But that's something that can be something like saying, my country is the best. I'm American. America is the best. I'm Russian. Russia is the best. It's something like that. It's some kind of xenophobia. It's not a properly understood spiritual calculation or assessment. So this idea of advertising, yes, our guru is the best. You come and take initiation from him. We don't want that. Don't advertise like that. Let people see, let them understand. If they feel inclined, if by their own good intelligence they think, yes, coming here, by placing my heart here, I have faith that I can be uplifted, that what Srila Prabhupada came to give, I'll get the same thing. So you should understand this. I'm very ordinary, not extraordinary, not even extraordinarily bad, just run of the mill, that's all. Very ordinary kind of background. But I have to acknowledge something extraordinary is happening to me. Just like we find that in the 8th chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the extraordinary mercy of Nityananda Prabhu upon himself. That because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was so forthright with his brother, his brother did not recognize the reality of Nityananda Prabhu as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had faith, the brother had faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not in Nityananda. And Krishnadas Kaviraji very rightly rebuked his brother. Although it's not stated, it seems that the brother may have been the elder brother, because it was quite a thing to do, to rebuke the brother for not having faith in Nityananda Prabhu, in seeing the behavior of Minaketana Ramdas, who as a follower of Nityananda, typical of followers of Nityananda, like Nityananda himself, was transcendentally eccentric. The priest, Gunarava Mishra, very cool-headed, brahmana, didn't get disturbed, but he should have joined Meena Ketana in chanting and dancing. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, because of his, he describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because of my good quality in rebuking my brother, Nityananda Prabhu appeared that night in his dream in shama, in darkish color, unusual, with his associates, all like cowherd boys with their sticks and dressed very nicely, and told him that you go to Vrindavan where all your desires will be fulfilled. Jaha Raja, Jaha Toma, Sarva Labhya Hoy. Everything you'll get there. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to Vrindavan. He got the darshan and blessings of Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath, all the great acharyas, and the blessing of Rupa, Raghunath, and he got the blessings of the devotees to compose Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he described this. He said, I shouldn't advertise how Nityananda Prabhu has been merciful to me. I shouldn't do that. But at the same time, if I fail to do so, how am I writing this Chaitanya Charitamrita now? If I fail to recognize the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, I would be an ingrate. I should say so. So he was in a quandary. But then he wrote it. And at the end of every chapter, Rupa Raghunatha Padejar Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishnadas. Repeatedly throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the end of almost every chapter, he states that aspiring for the lotus feet of Rupa Raghunath Krishnadas, he writes this, or speaks, literally speaks this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Elsewhere, he gives us his gurus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita, Gadadhar, Shivas, all the devotees, especially Rupa, all the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Rupa Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jeev Gopal, Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. He lists so many devotees. It's by the mercy of these devotees that I'm able to write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I should also recognize, because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, this something, some feelings for Krishna are there, some beginnings at the very least, some desire to communicate that is there. I'm very ordinary, but extraordinary things are coming from my mouth and coming from my writing. Extraordinary. Utishtasa, Jagrata, Prapya, Varang, Nibodhata. This is extraordinary that someone, especially from my background, should try to wake others up to their Prapya, Varang, Nibodhata, to their real boon of Krishna consciousness. So something amazing is going on. Even I see my own writings and I'm sometimes surprised. There's some current is flowing through. It's just like if you touch the electric wire, then electricity enters your body. So by following this process, which Srila Prabhupada has given, some current is coming through me, and I would be ungrateful not to recognize that and communicate that. I do have a strong desire to communicate that by speaking and especially by writing, to give clear spiritual knowledge. That's what we should do. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he gave us clear spiritual knowledge, making everything very clear and straightforward. So that's my aim, to do the same thing. And I feel I'm getting on the right track, because devotees are expressing their appreciation and they're coming forward to help me to communicate these things by these talks, which are live broadcast and then recorded, and in my writing, devotees are coming forward to help. And in the year that passed, there's been more appreciation, has been picking up appreciation of my talks, which are recorded on YouTube and Facebook and all this kind of thing. So that's also another form of challenge to me, to not get distracted by this popularity. Some kind of popularity or appreciation or recognition is there. It's a very dangerous thing. But at the same time, I shouldn't back down and say, no, I'm not going to speak, because I'm afraid of becoming appreciated. And then realize the current is coming through me. I'm not generating the current. I'm not the powerhouse. And just the current is coming through, that's all. That's just Srila Prabhupada's mercy, his fun, that he communicates it through such an unlikely person, just to demonstrate the point. Dino hino joto chilo, hari name udharilo. Not that I'm completely uplifted and saved, but even in my Trishanku position, neither here nor there, I can speak and say, hey, look what's up there. You should go there. Don't stay down there. I can say that with confidence. And others are beginning to appreciate that. So thank you all kindly for your appreciation. I should thank also donors who are offering Lakshmi Seva. It's also required. This broadcasting and book publication, all these things are going on. It also requires considerable funds. This broadcasting is going on at this quality due to, or it's been made possible by costly equipment. Sometimes we may be criticized why using such costly things. There can be a valid concern if people want to donate money. Oh, you're getting all costly things. What is that? You're supposed to live simply. In this regard, I will cite Srila Prabhupada. When the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan was under construction, that was the first half of the 1970s, and someone asked him, "That how is it you're building a big opulent temple when your predecessors, the six Goswamis, they lived under a different tree every night? So how can you call yourself a follower?" He didn't exactly say it in such a blunt way, but that was the implication, or he didn't understand. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I can stay under a different tree every night." Srila Prabhupada had stayed in very humble circumstances in Vrindavan prior to that. But he said, "But we require this temple so you will come and hear." Materialistic people, they, if they see a big arrangement, opulent temple, they think, "Oh yes, that is worth visiting." And they won't recognize. They won't recognize, generally a saintly person is not recognized unless he has some big opulent arrangement, many followers, or on the other hand, if he's extremely renounced. He has to do something extreme, and then people will recognize, because most people don't have the spiritual attunement to recognize simply by the spiritual prowess of that person. They may not recognize it at all. Srila Prabhupada was a householder for so many years. Then he was a vanaprastha, and he was a sannyasi in India. People didn't recognize. He was the same pure devotee, but people didn't recognize his greatness. In India, people didn't recognize, or anywhere else for that matter, and still, until he made a movement and had many followers. And in the beginning, the people who were coming to him, they didn't recognize he was a great devotee. That took time. So Srila Prabhupada built that big temple in Vrindavan and in other places so that materialistic people would think it's something very important and come, and then they should listen, and then they'll be benefited. So in the same way, we can make video broadcasts using a relatively inexpensive smartphone or iPhone, but we find that people, they appreciate or they become more attractive if there's a very nice arrangement with very clear sound, clear picture, nice lighting and everything like that. So that requires the expertise of the devotee who's arranging all these things, and requires costly equipment. So please don't mind. It's not for our sense gratification. We can use costly equipment in the service of Krishna, but then we don't use it for showing some nonsense, fooling around, which we don't do anyway. Yeah, well, not much, hardly. Do we? Not recently. But we use it for broadcasting the message of Krishna. So it is a valid concern. Or devotees who are donating, sometimes they're concerned that we see in ISKCON, the brahmacharis or whatever, they have all costly equipment. Well, I'm glad to say that at least in the projects which I'm unofficially overseeing, but actually overseeing, the devotees, they do live very simply in general. We have a standard rule of simple living and high thinking enforced by no electricity in the ashram. It may be different in some places, but the general rule is keep it very simple. So and then the kind of people who are going to come are not going to be the type who want all these fancy gadgets. You can come and see if you like. I'm not just bluffing you. You can come and see. Our devotees, they do live simply, and we may use expensive equipment as needed. We're spending crores and crores of rupees for temple construction, purchasing land so that people can live simply. So if you doubt, then don't donate. We're not wringing money out of anyone. We're not canvassing, you have to give money here. But if you feel that there's some benefit, then please come forward and donate. You might wonder what happens to all the money when I die, which can happen any time, and all those big funds that sannyasis stash away. I don't have any. I don't have any money. Not in my name. There's the money I get is used. I don't keep it. There's a trust fund of which I'm not a signer. So when I pass away, actually there's no need for me to have a will for my property, because I just have a few sets of cloth. I have a laptop, I have an iPad, nothing much to get really excited about. So when I pass away, don't jump in and try to loot the chest, because there's really nothing there. So if you're worried that I'm stashing money away, well, I'm not. And if you don't believe it, again, come and see. Okay. I'm just going to answer some queries from a disciple of mine who sent these queries. I got yesterday by email. I just thought it was quite apt to the occasion. Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Guru Maharaj, please mercifully enlighten me. How can a disciple hear correctly and understand the instructions of the spiritual masters? What kind of mistake may the disciple commit? Oh, there are many. All kinds of mistakes. There's Ashisha Kamana Hride Majema. That's the real mistake, to have all kinds of unlimited numbers of material desires. But we come with that, don't we? So we should hear. How should we hear then? That's really the question. Is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korya Aika Ana Korya Humanayasha? If you don't know what it means, look it up. You should know. And Srila Prabhupada would ask his disciples, do you know the meaning of this? He expected them to know the meaning of this. What must the disciple do to understand his spiritual master and satisfy him? Sincerity is the key. And satisfy him, you follow the instructions, that's all. It's not very complicated. There's no need to make it more complex than it actually is. The process of Krishna consciousness is very straightforward and easy. Hearing your talks, I realize that some things in my spiritual practice are not acceptable to you. You want your disciples to follow sadhana bhakti, as it has been said by Srila Prabhupada. Mangalati, Guru Puja, 16 rounds of Maha Mantra, minimum. Bhagavatam class, hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures and studying his books daily to be situated in Varnashram and follow respective duties. Now I'm able to follow only some of these instructions. If circumstantially you're not able to follow everything, do your best. 16 rounds is a must if you're going to be an initiated disciple. Otherwise, do your best and your sincerity will be appreciated. But try to get in a situation as far as possible in which you can do all these things, because these are the processes for our upliftment. Then, the email continues. Along with that, one question worries me. How did it happen that Srila Bhaktisthan Saraswati's mood wasn't understood by many of his disciples? They had good sadhana, they heard from their guru, lived with him. Some of them lived with him, many of them lived there. Our own Abhaichara Aravinda Das Adhikari, later to be known as A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he didn't live with his guru, but many of them did. They were engaged in preaching service, lived in more or less Vedic culture, following the Varnashram system. Okay, well, definitely India at that time was closer to the Vedic culture than it or any other part of the world is now today. It's difficult to find a better situation. That's a very good observation. Than the disciples of Srila Bhaktisthana Saraswati. To say they didn't understand, many of them didn't understand his mood, well, Srila Prabhupada did say things like that sometimes. But other times he was very praising of his godbrothers. I personally wouldn't want to say that they didn't understand his mood because they're my seniors and they all got the mercy of Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur. We don't find the mass fall downs like we get in the Western world. Particularly, Srila Prabhupada was on a campaign, an aggressive preaching campaign, and he would sometimes get on the case of his godbrothers for not being in the same fiery, spirited mood that he was. But to say that his godbrothers, many of them didn't understand the mood, it's difficult to be like Bhaktisthana Saraswati. And many of them did. They preached in their own capacity, as Srila Prabhupada recognized. He recognized that. The fact that they weren't doing such a massive worldwide preaching as our own Srila Prabhupada did doesn't mean that they were cut off from the mercy of their guru totally. They're all great saintly persons. So the question goes on, and we, your disciples, have a very good opportunity to receive your instructions. We have got all your lectures, daily quotes, books. We can render you personal service. As far as I've understood, you consider all service done on your instruction to be personal. There is an arrangement for following sadhana bhakti and varnashram. Not everyone's in a position to come to the varnashram projects that we have, the pilot projects, we have farm projects. Really, varnashram hasn't been solidly instituted. It's a work in progress. But it seems sometimes the disciples may understand an instruction of the spiritual master differently. In other words, different disciples understand the instructions in different ways. So how to hear the spiritual master properly? Guru Mokha Padma Vakya Chetete Korya Aika Ana Korya Mare Asha Dimbogyan Hriday Prakashito. We listen, we hear, we take those instructions in our heart, making them one with our heart, and then, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the spiritual knowledge is awakened within the heart. So, again, if we're sincere, we'll be awakened. And it may be, although the same basic knowledge is there for everyone, that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the inspiration that devotees get may be in different ways. One devotee may be inspired to preach Krishna consciousness in Africa. Someone may be inspired to take Srila Prabhupada's instruction to preach in your own family circle and among your local neighbors and friends. They may take that very seriously. Dayananda Prabhu, one of my venerable most senior god brothers, he's taking very seriously. It's not become a mass worldwide movement, but I'm just giving this as an example. He's taking very seriously the idea that grihasthas should engage in Sankirtan, preach to them like that, give 50% of their income. He's taken that very seriously. So different devotees are inspired in different ways, but it's the same basic mission. So understand differently, yes, different devotees may understand differently. There is deviation. Deviation comes, the point I'm making, it's not that differences necessarily mean deviations. There's only one way to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many ways, but there are deviations when we introduce something which is not specifically for the pleasure of Krishna. It's introduced, or it gives rise to something which might seem to be conducive to Krishna consciousness, but isn't overall. To give an example of that, there was a road show organized approximately 1973 by devotees in America, what they called a road show. It was a rock opera with Krishna conscious theme, which was supposed to bring people to Krishna consciousness, and it was in many ways, but after some time Srila Prabhupada stopped it. And it appears to be the reason that Srila Prabhupada thought that, well, it's too unconventional, it's very bad for the sadhana of the devotees, and he specifically said that people will come and they're attracted, many people are attracted, but they're attracted more to the music and the show rather than the serious message. And to make the presentation more attractive, the message tends to get obfuscated. So what Srila Prabhupada in the beginning, he said, he thought, okay. But after some time, he stopped it. So we have to see that we may be preaching in different ways, but is the message coming through? Are people taking to Krishna consciousness seriously? What some person may consider a great innovation for preaching, someone else will see as a deviation. Who is to say? Then we'll have to ask Srila Prabhupada when we see him. We may say, I'm asking in my heart. In my heart, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it's good. And in someone else's heart, Srila Prabhupada says, no, it's not good. Then we have to see according to Guru, Sattva, and Shastra. But again, it may not be very clearly understood. As long as your guru is personally present, you can ask personally, is this right or is this not right? If the guru passes away and you're still not very confident of your own understanding, you may approach other senior devotees for guidance. There has to come a point where the children stand up and have their own children, where they themselves become spiritual guides. So that requires taking a lot of strength from the guru. The disciples understand the instruction of the spiritual master differently. That's causing a lot of confusion in our society at the present time, that devotees have very different understandings on different issues. Who's to say? Everyone is to say. Everyone's got something to say. What is actually pleasing to Srila Prabhupada? The general standard, we have to iterate and reiterate. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. That is the general standard. Then we have to, that's a challenge to us, to go more deeply into the shastra and to tradition and to Srila Prabhupada's books and not see it superficially. How to hear the spiritual master properly? How did it happen that only our Srila Prabhupada heard properly and understood his guru? Srila Prabhupada did say something to that effect, but at the same time, I feel that we, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, should of course accept that, but at the same time not propagate that. That only our Prabhupada is properly following. We have to be very careful in these matters. What lesson should a disciple learn from that to get the mercy of the spiritual master? Again, I don't feel that other disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur were devoid of the mercy of their spiritual master, but that our own Srila Prabhupada got it in a particular form profusely. As it's a day when my disciples are particularly thinking about and asking about myself, and probably many of you are interested in what is the situation of my physical health. I'm happy to say that the pain in my back, which seriously impeded my main service project at the present time, which is working on an ever-growing book on the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. Throughout most of last year, my service was impeded. The back pain has, to a large extent, stopped, and I'm able to work again on the book. And there are other health problems. Worn-out body, but at least not problems that are at this point stopping my writing. So at least I want to finish this book. And there's so many books, there's so many things to do. What to mention every year, every day I see when the sun is rising, it's time to chant Gayatri. Then we think of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, Udyanastan Chayanaso. I always forget the first line of that. What's that? Ayo Harati Vaipungsam, Udyanastan Chayanaso, Tazyate Yakshano Nita, Uttamashloka Vartya. With the rising sun, the course of time, is taking away our lifespan, except for persons who are engaged in glorifying Krishna. But it's a fact that the body is passing on. But every day, birthday means 1 year closer to death. Every day, every moment, we're moving closer to death. So I feel I have a lot of things to do. Books to write, and want to see the Varnashram projects. They're getting established. We can't say they're solidly established by any means. A lot of work to do. Many, many, many things to do in Krishna's service. So, Ayushman Bhava, you can bless me today. May I live a long life. Let us see what is Krishna's plan. If I pass away tomorrow, today, that's all part of Krishna's plan. We may have so many things we want to do, but our life is in Krishna's hands. And we're fortunate enough that we can recognize that. And that's true of everyone, but we're fortunate enough that we can recognize that. So, again, thank you all for your kind appreciation, your services. May Srila Prabhupada bless you all. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo.